Have you ever thought that maybe, just maybe, God doesn't want things to go back to normal? Have you ever thought about that? Well, does that mean God wants us to suffer with this COVID-19? Well, that's not what I'm saying. But God will use things to cause us to be more awake. All right? Any of you use an alarm to get up in the morning? Nobody uses an alarm to get up in the morning. Who? Okay, thank you very much. Just checking. I was pretty sure, but I just wanted to verify that, okay? So we use an alarm in the morning, and I don't know about you, but there's some of those alarms that are just so irritating, and as soon as you hear that sound, you ever hear that digital sound, or something like that, you know, and it just sets you right on edge, right? But it sure wakes you up, all right? And maybe, just maybe, God is using COVID-19, all right? Now, I'm not saying that God sent this, but he may have allowed it. But either way, we should look at this as a warning. A warning to what? Maybe a warning to wake up. To wake up. What does that mean? To wake up. It means to be alert, to be aware, to be aware of your surroundings, to be understanding what is going on and alert. All right? Back in the old days, they used to have watchmen on the walls. All right? And so the city would be surrounded by this big wall, okay? And they would have these watchmen on the walls, and so the walls would be 12 feet high, sometimes higher even probably, all right? Sometimes even 20 feet high. And so these watchmen would be up on the walls, and they could see out for a long way. And if the enemy was coming or someone was coming with a delegate to meet with an important person in the city, well, they could see them coming from a long ways away and alert everyone inside, all right? And so God may be sending some of these things or allowing them to happen so that people are awakened from their slumber. And I don't mean sleeping in your bed. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a spiritual slumber, as if the church of God, the bride of Christ, has fallen asleep. The church of God has gotten very comfortable, and we've gotten rich, and we've gotten fat, and we've gotten, probably most of all, lazy. Lazy. And so the church has not been very active when it comes to winning people for Christ. The church has been focusing on a lot of what's going on inside the church. All right. The services, how beautiful the building is, how all of the things going on. How about all the meetings, right? We've got all this organization. We've got a plan for this thing. We got a meeting for that thing. We've got all these kinds of different, ministries going on in the church and all these things. But yet everybody out in the community is suffering and is going to hell because they don't know Jesus. Friends, this should not be. We've gotten so involved, we've gotten so concerned and comfortable thinking about our own lives. I fall into this category myself. All right, I get into a rut, if you will. I get into this habit, and I just keep going with that habit. And before you know, Sunday morning comes again, and I've thought nothing about bringing anybody with me to church, let alone speaking the truth of God and the love of God into their lives where they are, right? Do you know that the truth of God's word can get outside the walls of the church? Do you know that? Whose job is that? Well, it's the pastor's job to do all that stuff. That's why we pay the guy to go and do all that stuff, so we ain't got to do it. That's not biblical. I know you guys know that. That's not biblical. That's not the pastor's job. That's not the pastor's job. That's our job as believers. Our job as believers is to take the love of God, the truth of God's word, the light of his Holy Spirit out into the world. We are to rescue people. The Bible says, rescue those being led astray to hell. Do you mean to tell me that those that don't know Christ are being led astray to hell? Does that wake you up? That hurts me. And that hurts the Lord. Do you know that not all religion is true? Do you know that? Do you know that not all religions serve the same God? Do you know that?
That's right.
Many religions will say, we all serve the same God, don't we? We all serve the same God. So you can worship this way, you can do this, you can do that. It's all the same anyway. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, there is this belief now that when we die, regardless of how we've lived our lives, that we all go to heaven. Isn't that great? We die, we can live any way we want, and when we die, everybody goes to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? That is a lie from Satan himself. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Do you know that Satan wants to take everybody that he can with him to hell? He knows that he can't hurt God. He knows that he can't hurt Jesus. So he knows one way that's going to really bug him is to take as many of those that God cares about with him to torment. Friends, that's where we come in. We are the advocates of God. We're the ambassadors of God the Almighty to represent him to this world. Very little of what goes on in a believer's life should be right here. This should be where it begins. This should be where our teaching happens, all right? In various gatherings and meetings, that's biblical, all right? But it really begins once we step out those doors, once we go back to our homes. Do you know that in your home is the hardest place to live out the life of a Christian? Come on. Right? Or am I the only one? Am I the only one that the wife reminds? No. No, no, no. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But when we go home, where we hang our hat, and nobody's around us but our family, that's kind of when all of the imperfections kind of come out, don't they? Right? The things that we wouldn't say when we're around all of our Christian brothers and sisters. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. There's very little of that goes on in the house. Sometimes things come out of our mouths that we wouldn't want our brothers and sisters to hear or see. Sometimes if we were to open our refrigerators, there might be some things in our refrigerators that we might not want our brothers or sisters to see. I'm sorry. Am I right? Some of the things that would be on our TVs, we would not want our brothers and sisters to see. Let alone if we recognize the fact that the Lord Jesus was right there with us. We, the church, are to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. That is our job, friends. And the church is failing in that area. Does that mean that we are to go out and we're to recruit everybody and let's get them to sign up and sign their lives away, if you will, right? That's not it. That's not it. We are rescuing people. We are rescuing people. The Bible says that your enemy, the devil, has blinded the eyes of unbelievers so they can't see the truth. The enemy has blinded the eyes of unbelievers so that they can't see the truth. How are they, friends, going to see the truth? How are they going to hear the truth if we don't speak it to them? Do you understand? So do you see where the church has gotten very comfortable and very lazy and apathetic to where the church is comfortable allowing very few people to do that work? I want you to think about something. When was the last time you brought someone to church with you that doesn't normally come? Okay. When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus? Have you ever led someone to Jesus Christ where they said that was a prayer to receive Christ as their Lord and to forgive them of their sins? Okay. Now, I want you to think. So in relation to God's command to us, friends, and our desire to go back to pre-COVID-19, God, I think, does not want us to go back to pre-COVID-19. He is shaking the church. He is shaking the work of men. He is shaking, the Bible says, everything that can be shaken, the Bible says. He is going to shake everything and is now shaking everything that can be shaken. Until only those things that cannot be shaken will remain. Our government is being shaken. Do you see it? Our monetary system is being shaken. Can you see it? All right. Even our families are being shaken. Do you see that? Do you see how this pandemic can be thought to shake things? The normal way that we do things is not normal anymore. All right? We've got masks now that we have to wear everywhere. Okay? Some of us are wearing gloves. How many times have you used hand sanitizer this morning? Okay? I've probably used it about 8 times already today. Okay? And, I mean, it's a daily thing now. And it's almost become a new normal, has it not? And yet we long for the days, in many cases, we long for the pre-COVID-19 days when we didn't have to worry about all this junk and this garbage. But I'll tell you what, when these things happen, when it brings discomfort to us and it shakes our way of living, it causes us to look to the Lord. It causes us to turn back to God. And it shakes the things that we put our trust in, our hope in. Listen, at the beginning of this, when this all happened, did you see any shelves empty in the stores? Was there certain things that were missing from the shelves? Toilet paper! Okay? Water. Water was another thing that was hard to come by. Okay? Does this shake the way that you do things? You might have had to go to different places to try to get these things. How about cleaning supplies? You couldn't find it, right? You might have had to go some other place, or you had to do without and use something else in its place. Your way of cleaning your house was shaken. Your way of shopping was shaken. Some things that you normally cook were shaken. And I'm not talking shake and bake. You with me? He is going to shake everything that can be shaken until only the things that cannot be shaken will remain. Even things in nature are being shaken. Do you notice? Even things in nature are being shaken. Praise the Lord. God is waking up his people, and he may in fact be making things uncomfortable to wake up his church to say, hey, all you children of mine, get off your backside and get busy. And I'm not talking just coming to church, though that's where it starts. Okay? I'm talking get busy about the kingdom of God. Get busy about your faith. Put your faith to work. Don't let your lives continue in the rut of spirituality that you are in. God is saying, get out of it. Put it in four-wheel drive, baby. Let's go. Are you with me? So often, and I remember praying this prayer so many times when I was going through all my back struggles for 15 years of disability, all right, and surgery after surgery, procedure after procedure, medication, narcotics after medication. I remember, God, just heal me. Get me out of this pain. I just want to be out of here. Anywhere will do, just not here. Yeah? We pray that prayer now. I don't want to be here. Just get me out of this COVID-19 garbage and I'll be fine. There's something, friends, that God wants us to learn through the discomfort, through the pain of this. And let me tell you something. This is barely even touching the beginning of the things to come. Have you read Revelation? Have you read Matthew 24 and 25? All right, there are some difficult things coming, all right? And the Bible says that these are only the beginning of birth pains. We haven't even gotten to the birth pains part yet, okay? We haven't even got to that point yet, all right? When a mama is ready to have a baby, the closer she gets to her due date, she can feel that baby wants out, and she can feel those contractions beginning to come, and she feels that pain and that discomfort, but at the same point, she knows that that pain and discomfort is going to bring joy in a little while because that baby will be brought into this world. And all of this 9 months of discomfort and her life has been so, so different. And her body has been so different, and she her lack of sleep and so many different things. But she knows now that this baby's gonna come, right? But in the same way, those birth pains are what the church and we are going to be experiencing as things in the world happen as God has said that they're going to happen. And he's telling us, wake up. Wake up. Don't fall asleep in your faith, friends. All right? Now listen, some of us, if not many of us, we like to prepare. We like to get things in our homes and where we have access to them so when the difficulties out in society happen, that we are safe in our homes. That's wise. That's wise. All right? I do that myself. All right? But here's the thing. My hope is not in a stockpile of water or a stockpile of toilet paper or a stockpile of bullets or a stockpile of this or that. My hope in Christ alone.
Amen.
All right? Yeah. All right. My hope in Christ. He is my rock. He is my salvation. He is, look at, he is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in the time of trouble. present day stuff.
Hallelujah.
People will say, the Bible is old. It's not relevant anymore. Friends, there are things in this Bible that seem, and we've talked about this before, that like you're reading the front page of the news.
Amen.
Are you ready? Are you prepared? Have you woken up yet? Are you alert? Because God is saying to you, to us, to the church, wake up. Wake up. All right. The Bible says that God is not slow in returning. All right? No, it's not that way at all. He's waiting for more and more and more people to come to him that he can save. Right? God is not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish, that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's heart. That's his desire, that those that don't know him, those that don't know him, come to him and do know him. Not what other people have told them about him, but that he comes to know them. All right? And they know him. All right? Have you ever, maybe when you were younger in your younger days, or maybe not, maybe now, you had someone tell you about someone else, maybe their friend or maybe a possible date or something like this, right? You're going to like this guy. He's a great guy. He's great looking. He's got a great personality. Oh, he's so funny. Make you laugh, you know. And, you know, maybe you find that person not to be so desirable, okay? Maybe that person really ends up being annoying, okay? Maybe that person ends up being something totally different. Okay, but here's the thing. You may have been told something about God, but does it really accurately represent what is God in his word? Because if it's different, and it often is, or it's half-truths, or it's not quite true, all right? We talked about recently how God is love. And if God is love, he will accept me any way that I am. And I can live any way that I want, and I don't have to worry about God's judgment. I don't have to worry about God being angry with me or anything like that, right? Wrong!
Amen.
That is not biblical. God will accept you any way that you will come. But he don't want you staying that way.
Amen.
He don't want you staying that way. All right? He will forgive your sin if you repent. Turn around from your sin. He will forgive you. The Bible says that God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins, right? And cleanse us of all unrighteousness. All right? But I'll tell you, friends, don't make the mistake of thinking that God, this only loving and merciful and graceful side of God is all there is, because it ain't. It ain't. God hates sin. God hates when people reject him. Do you understand? Why? Why does God hate that? Because it separates us from him. It separates us from him, friends. Friends, we need, as it says in Hebrews 12:2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. You know what it means to fix something? And I don't mean to repair or maintain something. Let us fix, set our eyes, focus our eyes, put them there and leave them there. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That's where our focus needs to be. Who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, the seat of power. The seat of power and authority. That's what that right hand of God means. Friends, would you stand with me today? God is desiring for his church to wake up. And so we're going to be seeing more and more and more these difficult things. We see this rioting, this civil unrest, racial tension, and anything that can cause problems. Okay, the difficulties, the division between the political parties. All right, there's no longer any middle ground. You don't see them working together anymore. Why is that? Because they're political and the value system is no longer the same. There's no familiar value system that all parties can relate to. Division, factions. The enemy loves to divide people, especially the church. I don't know about you, but I've seen some division going on as this election and stuff has been going on, and that it has even been dividing brothers and sisters in Christ because of their so far apart, separated, and just polarizing political views. They allow the enemy to divide them. Don't let that happen to you. No way. No way. The church of God is to be unified. But God, friends, is saying, wake up. Wake up. Get out of your comfort zone. Do things that are biblical. Do things that obey the commands of God. Go into the world and make disciples. Well, I don't know how to make a disciple. I don't know how to make a disciple. You tell them about Jesus. You tell them about the love that God has for them, so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would be saved and not perish. Can you put your arm around him and say, hey man, I'm here for you. I love you. What can I do? How can I show you? Live out your faith in showing love to somebody else. Wake up, friends.